down. It's the world's last podcast. I have some good news. I think I reached a breakthrough with my neighbor. I mean, I think we communicated about something. I caught it on tape, and I will play that for you in a few minutes. But first, I have to start this week with an explanation. Maybe an apology. I was criticized for my reporting on Liberty One. Ramblin' Dan gave me lots of notes about that one. Here's a representative one, in part. He writes, "Even if you don't agree with their way of life, you should at least say that you feel bad for the people on that ship. You know how much everyone has suffered, regardless of the choices they made in the final days. The only response should be pity for universal human frailty, even universal stupidity. I'll bet if you think about it, setting sail on a libertarian island is no better and no worse than hiding out in luxury apartments or abandoned superstores, which is what you did. Yeah, next time survivors turn up on our shores, try not to gloat." Well, that's harsh, but probably deserved. I did make fun of libertarians last time, and really, there's no sport in that. However, this thing of saying I feel bad for people who've suffered some tragedy, I won't do that. If you were alive before the calamities, then you remember disaster after disaster, whether it was a shooting, a weather event, or even a shipwreck. Everyone in the world had to say they felt bad for the victims. Any Friday or Saturday you went out with a group of friends, you all had to go around saying who you felt bad for. Someone would mention the shooting. Then someone would say, "I just feel bad for the victims." Okay. But it didn't stop there. Someone else felt bad for the victims' families. That's also understandable. But no one could be silent or just repeat what the person before them had said. So someone else might say, "I know this sounds weird, but I kind of feel bad for the shooter's mother. She didn't ask for any of this, and now her life is ruined too." All right, but that wasn't the end of it, depending on how many people were there. I mean, there at the bar, not there at the shooting. Someone else feels bad for the families of the doctors who are working in the emergency room, because they aren't going to see them for days. And what about the people who do the catering for the news crews? And then, after you've run out of people, someone has to feel bad for the pets of the victims. I'll bet there's a dog somewhere who's looking for them to come home, and they didn't choose this. I'm not blaming the victims, you know, but their dogs didn't choose to go out that night. In some ways, they have it even worse. No one ever felt bad for the perpetrator, even though, at the most basic level, everything that happens is really the result of invisible particles swirling in an infinite void, and no one bears any responsibility for anything. Certainly not for what happens to them, but not even for what they do. Anyway, there would be all of this bad feeling, except for the perpetrator, but we didn't go home. We just kept drinking and started talking about something else. I always wondered if the bad feelings could possibly be genuine. When I feel bad, I stay at home. I don't know if I feel bad. When these terrible things happen, I think they're terrible. I wonder if they could have been prevented, or if they could be prevented in the future, but I'm not sure if I feel anything at all. Maybe I do, deep inside, but it's so deep, it's a secret from myself. So, I won't say I feel bad for the Liberty One's crew and passengers, although what happened to them was terrible, and shouldn't have happened to anyone. Like every terrible thing, that's ever happened. This is the world's last podcast. As I said, I had a breakthrough with my neighbor. I'm not sure if it was a conversation or if we just happened to be talking about the same thing at the same time, even though we didn't understand each other. Maybe that's what a conversation is. Fine. Here's a conversation with my neighbor about a movie.
Creo que tiene que ver algo con el océano también. No pensamos mucho en eso. Tendría que ser algo así como lo de Solaris, el libro Solaris.
You say Solaris?
Solaris.
Solaris?
Sí.
I saw that too. It was so boring.
Sí, leí el libro.
You're pantomiming reading. You were reading during the movie. I wish I'd had a book.
Ojalá tuviese yo un ejemplar del libro también, ahora. Era algo sobre un océano inteligente. A lo mejor es una locura, pero no entiendo cómo funciona ya nada ahora.
Crazy. I hadn't heard about that movie in years. Solaris.
Sí, Solaris.
Now, if I understood that right, which is possible, neither of us liked that movie. That doesn't seem that important, but friendships can be built on not liking things. I had a friend for years. We could rarely do anything because we didn't like any of the same things. Did he want to see Jackass? No, never. Did I want to see Transformers? Of course not. I was an adult. But we emailed each other at length about how neither of us would ever see a movie about old people falling in love. It wasn't a lifelong friendship, but those emails were fun. Well, this week I have a reading for you. As you know, if you are a regular listener, or as you will know in less than a minute if you're not a regular listener, the previous owner of this house filled a room with printouts from the old internet. Most of that material has now been destroyed by me. I've been going through what's left to bring you interesting pieces from yesteryear. I found an article from something called Wikipedia. Explaining what Wikipedia was would be a fool's errand, but I'm still not going to do it. The article is about a woman named Mary Toft. I won't read the whole thing. I'm just going to summarize it. I wondered why anyone saved this article, but then I saw that on the last page, this guy wrote, "Anything is possible," and underlined it. That was a common hope for some reason. Well, Mary Toft was a woman in the 18th century. She claimed to have given birth to rabbits. Or we can say it was claimed that she had given birth to rabbits. The story started when she appeared to go into labor. And this is the term the article uses, male midwife, delivered several cat parts from her. I mean, she was pushing out pieces of cat. Okay. That part was not in dispute, I don't think. Then it seems like she kept delivering things. Other doctors came to examine her, and she pushed out rabbits. Some of the rabbits were alive, at least for a while. It looks like one of the doctors noted that one of the rabbits hopped around for a while. You know, when rabbits give birth to rabbits, do the babies come out hopping? I don't know. I remember seeing a video of a kangaroo giving birth, and that little thing was in no condition to hop. On the other hand, I saw a show where a gazelle gave birth, and that little guy, he was ready to run as soon as he dropped out. And he did run, just not faster than a lion. Anyway, Everyone back then got really excited about all this. I don't know why. Rabbits give birth to many rabbits, and they don't need any help from people. Eventually, the king's doctor got involved. Someone more official went to examine these baby rabbits and the cat parts. It turns out that the parts had been cut with a sharp instrument, guessing a knife, and the baby rabbits had droppings that were composed of grain. They had been out in the world. This was a hoax. The article speculates about how the hoax was accomplished, but you can use your imagination to fill in those gaps. But don't. Mary was imprisoned for fraud, but she was let out eventually because she hadn't caused anyone any harm, except for that cat and those rabbits. I should point out one thing about Wikipedia. It only presented the majority view of the subject, and the majority view wasn't always right. But I'm not sure what the minority view on Mary Toft would be. Maybe that she actually gave birth to rabbits? That seems unlikely, although we now know nothing is impossible. I have many questions about this article. The most important one is why I never heard of this before. The article doesn't mention any movies based on it, but in my view, there should have been at least a dozen, or a stage play. I think that could have revived live theater. The loss of most technology has revived it anyway, but without that. There's no chance anyone would do it in a movie or on stage now. It would be too disturbing. Another question I have is, why save this? Obviously, it'll always be interesting, but I think the clue is in what he wrote at the end. Anything is possible. I think he was hoping, when the calamity started, that it was just another hoax. It wasn't. What else? There weren't any movies based on this or plays, but there were some satirical poems. I don't really care for satire. People are doing their best. You know what? I actually feel bad for Mary Toft. She was an 18th century peasant. Can you imagine how bored she must have been? She probably actually had to make hay. This incident with giving birth to rabbits and meeting famous doctors and going to jail was probably the most exciting thing that ever happened to her or anyone she knew, even if it wasn't real. I mean, it definitely wasn't real. This is the world's last podcast. Well, the authority wants to thank everyone for cooperating with the census. So far, there have been very few incidents, if any. The census is still ongoing, so your continued cooperation will be appreciated. You can also take this opportunity to register to vote in the upcoming elections. Remember, there are a number of propositions being considered this year. There's the creation of a new habitable zone by extending the power grid, whether the minimum number of service hours should be increased for teenagers. There's the annexation of the valley, and along with that, whether we can have a civilian draft. Now, everyone who registers will receive a number of marbles. Remember, so there's no confusion like last time, the transparent marbles, we used to call those cat's eyes, those mean yes. And the solid marbles, we used to call those ice creams, those mean no. It doesn't matter what colors are on the marbles, only whether they're transparent or not. It also doesn't matter that some of the marbles weigh more than the others. They aren't weighing the marbles, they're counting them. And you can watch them being counted on election day if you have nothing else to do. And you shouldn't have anything else to do. It's a holiday. So, look forward to that. I asked you to calm down at the beginning. Now you can go back, hopefully, not to anxiety, but to readiness. Stay ready, and I'll talk to you next week.